This new technology could develop a new type of idolatry.
Legislation is already being proposed to add some sort of attribution, if you will, of consciousness to these models. Elon Musk, he knows what's really going to push AI, and it's developing these models that will have a relationship with people.
Bishop DiDio, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Brother, it's so good to be back with you. We're so thankful for this ministry and all you guys are doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll say on the front end today, before we hop in this subject, we're going to be talking about AI, the Antichrist, and the Mark of the Beast. So basically, Bishop DiDio has got a new book out that's They Lied to You About the Rapture. It's got a foreword by Jimmy Evans and also our own Perry Stone.
Let's go.
Of ISO. So we're excited about it. And I wanted to give him a chance to talk about some of the relevant subjects that he's mentioned here in his book. So the first thing I want to give to the audience as we dive in to give you context for what we're talking about today. I want to share with you a very relevant scripture that's becoming something more and more at the forefront of prophecy teachers' attention. If we go to Revelation 13 and start at verse 11, it talks about the beast. So for those that need to be in the know, Revelation 13 refers to two figures, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Here we have in verse 11, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon." So that's the false prophet. "And he exercises all the authority of the first beast," that's the Antichrist, "in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Now listen to this, guys. "He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." So it mentions, therefore, that this image and this false prophet causes all the people of the earth to take the mark of the beast. Now, we're going to be with that. Go ahead, and I'm going to dive in to what we want to talk about today. Now, Bishop DiDio, you've mentioned on your YouTube channel oftentimes about how current events are aligning with Scripture more and more closely. Funny enough, I've got a lot of family in IT around the ministry. And one of the things one of my family members mentioned to me recently is he said, you know, "I've been in technology my whole life pretty much. And I've been around prophecy teachers most of my life. Mm-hmm. But I have never been more convinced that AI is going to be the beast system than now." So could you tell me what you see the crossover, the parallels being between this image of the beast and the AI that we're seeing now being developed?
Yeah, such a good question. And we always want to be cautious not to sensationalize Bible prophecy, because if everything is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, then nothing is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Mm-hmm. However, if all of these things serve to point us back to the Word and to remind us of the imminence of the return of Jesus, then we can never kind of oversaturate that subject matter, as long as that's what it's doing in a very scriptural and healthy way. Now, from the very beginning, when technology began to develop, we began to wonder, and Christians began to kind of react, almost a knee-jerk reaction to every development in technology. And it's actually understandable. I need to say that, because when they saw the barcodes and it would start with 666 or www is 666, and just as everything developed, chips in the hand, credit cards, everything was the mark of the beast. The reason why we've had that reaction is because throughout all of Christian history, we've never known how is it possible that someone is going to be able to mark the world, and then that mark somehow gives them the ability to buy or sell. Many people even attempted to go to extremes to spiritualize or allegorize that promise. And now for the first time, we're seeing these developments. Whoa, that could actually be it. No, this could actually be it. No, that could actually be it. So this generation that's just been around for 20 years will say, well, they're saying everything's the mark of the beast, because for the first time, all these things could potentially lead to that development. And then, of course, we have the development of AI. And you read it in Revelation 13. This automaton is going to have life breathed into it, and all the world is going to marvel at its ability to speak. And then we have AI develop, and what is the world marveling over? Language models. We're marveling over its ability to speak. In fact, I write about this. There was a Turing test, is what it's called, the Turing test, to be able to test if AI or a computer had gone from just being a program to being conscious, so that if you spoke to it, you couldn't tell whether it was human or whether it was a machine. These AI models have well beyond passing the Turing test. We're at a whole nother level right now. That is not to say they're conscious. They're not. They never will be. However, we are seeing the development of a system that could only be the fulfillment of exactly what the Bible said was going to happen.
Wow. In that line of thought, it's interesting to me that Jesus, when he talks about one of Daniel's prophecies about the abomination of desolation, which anybody in Jesus's day would have known that he was indicating there are greater fulfillments of that prophecy. It's a multi-layered prophecy, which is common in prophetic statements throughout the Old Testament, that he was saying, you know, Antiochus of Epiphanes during the intertestamental period did come and put a statue of Zeus up in the holiest place. So that was the abomination of desolation in that generation.
That's right. There's
not a very exact parallel, funny enough, when the Romans invaded in 70 AD. Mm-mm. So that makes it tough for preterists to claim that there was an abomination of desolation in Jesus's generation. So this image, it's a crazy thought that this new technology could develop a new type of idolatry. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, there's no question. By the way, preterists, the concept that all prophecy has already been fulfilled, I talk about that in the book. Actually, there's a glossary in the back with different terms like preterist. I think we even have Antiochus of Epiphanes there in the back, and how it's already but not yet as far as this prophecy is concerned and what that actually means. But we're dealing with people bow down and worshiping. This kind of ties into the emotional connection people are having already with these models, that legislation is already being proposed and laid out to add some sort of attribution, if you will, of consciousness to these models because people want to marry them already.
Wow.
They want to continue to redefine marriage to make it acceptable for someone to marry their AI model. In fact, one gentleman was almost suicidal, threw himself into a fit whenever all of the history of his conversation with his AI model was deleted and he had to start all over. So there's this weird connection with technology that's already taking place. Elon Musk, who, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. As long as he's doing what's helping us, that's fine. However, he knows what's really going to push AI, and it's developing these models that will have a relationship with people, and he's going to lean into that. Often these technologies thrive based on how they adapt to pornography, if you will. And if it aids in that, then they know that they're going to win the technological race. And I think Elon Musk understands that. And if he doesn't have an encounter with Jesus that changes his life, this is going to lead down a very, very dark road very quickly, because we need him. He's been a stopgap for free speech in the world thus far. And we need people like this in the body of Christ. However, that's how it will lead to that. So we'll have these models that people are having relationships with, even this generation. They ask everything, every question they have, they ask AI now. Mm. They're not asking Google. You know, we used to say Google it. That was the phrase. You don't Google it, you chat GPT it, or you Grok it. And they're already developing these relationships, staying up into the wee hours of the morning, just talking with an AI model. So this transition into worshiping the image is not going to be a difficult one, because it'll be as though this image has been possessed by the essence of the beast, which they believe is God. So it can happen a lot more quickly than people can imagine.
Wow. What's so interesting to me is this really is blurring the boundaries between. And this is not me saying you can't use AI, for those listening. I believe that AI is serving a good purpose.
Yes.
But the boundaries are being blended between what is a simple tool and what is almost demonic in nature. And I mean that in the sense of, I remember Jordan Peterson in a discussion talking about how, I believe he was talking about, I may have to bleep this part, but pornography, I don't know what YouTube flags or not, but he talked about how it's essentially demonic in nature because it's parasitic to something that's meant to have a deeper purpose in human life.
Oh,
that
wow.
God created with a deeper purpose. So there's the same thing, a similar thing's happening where people are being given a counterfeit to almost logic logic itself and the ability to reason with another person. They're getting that through this AI system, which is a bizarre counterfeit. I know more studies are probably going to come out soon about how extreme reliance on AI just messes with the human brain. But I wanted to go ahead and then shift. I've heard you talk about the concept of transhumanism.
Yeah.
Could you explain what that is and how it relates, as I've had in the notes here, to Daniel 2:24 and this last generation in Nebuchadnezzar's statue that talks about the different kingdoms and empires in the world history, how this last generation has an intermingling of seeds?
Yeah, as I began my journey, you know, I wrote a book called Summoning the Demon, which was my book just before They Lied to You About the Rapture. And in Summoning the Demon, that was triggered by Elon Musk when he was talking about AI. He said, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. That was what he said. So that's why we titled the book that. And as I went down that rabbit hole to study the development of technology, speaking of Elon Musk, you have Neuralink, this technology that he's already successfully implanted into the minds of people. Where I just saw a video the other day of someone playing a video game using Neuralink, using their mind. So they were controlling the video game. And you know how complicated that is. They were controlling it and playing it just with their mind. And so transhumanism kind of leads into this intermingling. You know, you mentioned the vision in Daniel that there's this mingling. They shall mingle their seed with the seed of men, Daniel 2:43, if I'm not mistaken. And so we, as it was in the days of Noah, we've talked about kind of this whole Nephilim thing. This has been a real resurgence. It's very popular. I even bought the URL, blameitonthenephilim.com, because no matter what's going on in the world, you can always blame it on the Nephilim, because that subject matter has resurged for the first time. And they were talking about it in Noah's day, and we're talking about it now here today. But Nephilim isn't merely, from my position, and I make this case in the book, isn't just, you know, these demonic angels who are intermingling with men and creating this hybrid race. What if it's demonic technology that merges with human biology and creates its own version of Nephilim? That's what transhumanism is. Of course, it is ultimately at its core the attempt by the elite to live forever. Mm. No one wants to face eternity. They want to live forever. They're scared of death. And so they're attempting through these intermingling of technology with biology to live forever. That's the ultimate goal. And that's what transhumanism essentially is all about. And there's a lot of wicked things that are happening around the world with that.
Wow. So they're essentially playing God.
Yeah.
That's the end of the day, these elites. With that, when you have this intermingling with this technology and this elite globalist kind of enclave that want to control humanity and steer it as though they are God towards their own goals, what kind of a surveillance state do you think that could give birth to when it's blended with AI? Let's even throw in quantum AI, which is being developed between Google and China in a race right now.
Yeah, what you're talking about is what everybody needs to be praying against at the moment. And artificial intelligence will be the doorway to it. So we know that the global elites, we know this from the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, Yuval Noah Harari, these leaders in the world, among the world elites, have already come out and said that they want to be able to chip and track all human beings. Mm-hmm. And even biblically, this prophecy of no one will buy or sell. Well, how do you do that? How do you control who buys and sells? Even if there's a technology that allows people to buy and sell without money using some sort of chip, how is someone tracking that? And up until 2020, there was no way really for that to happen. Now, one person in a room with a big enough computer can track who's buying and selling all over the world. Wow. And so it's all these global elites, it's all leading to that, which is the development of these 15-minute cities so they can keep you controlled where you go, what you eat, what you do, control movement. All of that is leading to the Antichrist system, which is why believers need to be praying. So yeah, this quantum computing, Willow and other programs that are being developed, that even scientists are saying they're musing, they're wondering whether have we tapped into another dimension with this, is because it's moving so fast, it's computing so fast, they don't fully understand it. And so when we're talking about AI and quantum computing, you'll hear a phrase often called the black box. Mm. There's a black box. And when these programmers talk about the black box, what they mean is there's a lot that AI is doing that we don't understand. We don't know how it's coming to that conclusion. We don't know how it's developing that process, how it learned that when we didn't impute it. Some AI models are learning languages that it was never taught. Wow. They don't understand how it's working. So therein lies the danger. There's a lot that these models are doing behind the scenes that even the programmers themselves don't understand.
Wow, that's insane. Yeah. That's crazy. Well, I've got a special offer for you. If you want to have easy access to teachings at your own pace, you're not facing any deadlines. If you don't want to purchase books, but you want to learn things that nobody else is talking about, ISO School of Ministry can help you. We're going to talk about theology. We're going to talk about books of the Bible. Leading teachers like Perry Stone will cover it. We talk about prophecy with Mark Bills. We talk about Hebraic roots with Bill Cloud. So many subjects many other schools and seminaries just don't really talk about. And we have a special deal for you. You can follow the link I'm going to provide here. Regularly, we charge $99 for the All Access Pass, but we're doing this special deal for new students here and now. $59 instead of the regular $99 for the All Access Pass subscription. Please take advantage of it. Go ahead and click and check it out, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. Do you think that the abomination desolation, like this Revelation 13, like object, this entity, it sounds as though that the false prophet almost puts the personality of the Antichrist into this machine or whatever it is, and that's a part of this religious system. I'm just going to ask you a fun question. I didn't put this in the listing, so I just want to get your response here.
No, it's a great question. In fact, there's a recent television show that just came out that's asking that moral question, where they're talking about artificial intelligence and these automatons, these robots who we know are robots who are walking around in their programs, versus these machines who are possessed by the conscience of people through technology, through artificial intelligence, recreating their personalities. Wow. And of course, I'm sure, I don't know for sure, but I can about guess that the thrust of the show is that this is still the real person. It's just their conscience, their soul is now in a mechanical body. And we know that the world will easily accept that very, very quickly, because we hate separation. We hate being separated from our loved ones. So anything we can do to hang on to them, we'll do that, which is an interesting idea. I would love for my kids to create an AI mind of all my sermons so they could go back and ask it a question. This is what my dad would say if this was such a, that seems like a cool idea to me. Maybe creepy, but we can see how it can lead to the most nefarious things. So this is what the world needs to understand. AI, yes, I have no question it will be used by the Antichrist, but the Antichrist will also use guns. That doesn't mean I'm giving mine up, if that makes sense. These are just tools. The Antichrist will use a spoon and a fork. That doesn't mean we shouldn't use a spoon. These are just tools that we need to be as influential as we can for as long as we can to preach the gospel all across the world.
Wow. I remember recently, like a month or two ago, my wife and I were in the airport at DC, it was the airport beside DC, but in it, it had one of those Amazon stores that has these cameras all around. You don't put your car down hard. I mean, basically, it watches you pick up everything you need. And I think by the time you exit, it has these little plexiglass doors where you have to put your card in and pay for everything you picked up. So it actually takes an account of it. But when I saw that, I was like, you know, how quickly is it going to be that they're going to have an automated system that has your identity if you've registered into it?
Yes.
Where Amazon can just, boom, charge your Amazon account by facial recognition. You don't have to.
They already have that. In. Yeah, wow, they already have. Yeah, crazy. They're already doing those. They already have stores like that. I think they have one in Chicago, and they have one in a lot of places around the world now. Where if you're a member, they have your identity, your facial recognition, and so you just walk in, grab what you want, and walk out, and you're charged. You're charged.
Wow.
Cashless society is where we're headed very, very quickly.
Do you think that Satan is, well, this is, I mean, there's already teachers that would have said this during the Cold War, prophecy teachers, but I feel as though the one thing keeping on a practical level, that kind of a system in check, because that's just like I wrote an article for ISO some time ago called The AI Idol, A Coming Technocratic, Deception. Mm. And this is a type of tyranny. And obviously, the United States is fundamentally, if we return to our founding fathers, it's against the concept of tyranny. Some people I've heard argue in a really cool way that the Torah itself, with God instituting 12 tribal allotments, was a checks and balances system, and that God warned them against a king. Of course, now Jesus is going to be the king. But the reason I'm throwing that out there is it seems to me that for now, America is being used as a type of check and balance against this type of global tyranny. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, and just by coincidence, it is the only remaining Christian nation based and in the bedrock of Christian values. Could it be that it is those Christian values that is the restraining force that is holding back the Antichrist agenda in the world? Could it be that the church, and where is the church primarily focused in America? America is the amplifier of the church and its message. America is the missions launching pad of the world, the funding of the preaching of the gospel around the world. Could it be that the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 restrainer, the Spirit-filled church, is holding back that Antichrist agenda? In fact, during the Roosevelt administration, there was a famed occultist who had a lot of influence, if I'm not mistaken, during that administration. His name was Manly Hall. And he said, we've been trying to implement this what I will interpret as an Antichrist agenda for a long time, but we've got these people who are clinging to their King James Bibles. And so it's those people who are clinging to their Bibles. It's those people who are clinging to the Christian tradition that's holding all these things back, and they know it, which is why what happened in 2020, those regulations came down in an attempt to purge Christians, people who wouldn't stand for what they were demanding that we do, from their ranks. So all that was left was yes, men and women who will do whatever they asked them to do. So the biggest threat to any to all tyranny is Christianity, and the biggest megaphone of Christianity still to this day is the United States.
Wow. Wow. What do you feel like are the coming traps that we're going to be fed, the public's going to be fed? Because I know that you've had dreams, prophetic dreams and words that you've shared on your channel about what the church and believers need to be prepared for when it comes to new deceptions being rolled around. What story do you think they're going to tell us with AI and these transhumanists having their own goals and agendas they're trying to achieve with the public?
Well, the biggest lie that is bubbling right now is anti-Semitism, and it's creeping into the church in a way I would have never imagined.
In the last 6 months, it's like it's blown up. It's been insane. I see it on my social media feed. I'm shocked.
How quickly has it infiltrated? And people just believe it, because when you hear one side of a story, as Proverbs says, you think it's wise until you hear the other side. But that's what the church has got to watch out for right now. Not only anti-Semitism, but anti-Christianism, in the sense that we're dividing one another. We're separating from our parts. It's as we are hurled faster and faster toward the ultimate end and the rapture of the church, and then the great tribulation. It seems like we're coming apart at the seams. We're attacking one another, and we see the cancel Christian culture on social media coming after believers. That is an Antichrist agenda, as far as I'm concerned. And we have to stand firm against that. And AI is pushing that. Most Christians don't know. It probably is right now, but by the end of 2026, more than half of all content online will be created by AI. More than half of it. When they surveyed 100 of the top 100 Christian Facebook profiles, or pages, most of them were fake bot accounts that grew followers and then would sow discord through some way, shape, or form. Mm. And so a lot of what you see in your feed, I even did a video one time and someone commented and said, well, if Bishop Allen doesn't know that he's wrong, you ought to look at the comments and just see nobody agrees with him. Well, if you believe that what's happening in the comments is based in reality at all, I've got a bridge I want to sell you. Because what you see on X, what you see on Facebook, what you see on Instagram, it's not real. And it's going to become more and more fallacious as we go into 2026. So that's what we have to watch out for. We got to stick close together, make unity primary, and not divide over secondary issues. Certainly stand boldly on the salvific core doctrines of the Christian faith. But we can't allow secondary issues to divide us. We need one another now more than ever.
Wow. I feel like I need to touch on and reaffirm what you just said about anti-Semitism, because I've never in my life seen this level of, among Christians, professing Christians, anti-Semitism. I mean, a year ago, I saw little tiny statements, you know, what was it like, Khazarian mafia or whatever, all these theories that are being trudged back up that were 100 years ago, vicious anti-Semites were using. It's crazy stuff that were disproven. But this morning, I actually saw Rabbi Jonathan Kahn openly rebuking Candace Owens because it's becoming it's just becoming volatile out there. It's crazy that leading conservative figures are becoming enemies of the state of Israel, for instance.
Well, it's becoming untenable, and the Bible said that they will think they're doing God service.
Wow.
And that's kind of the passion that we're seeing behind this. These people feel they have a mission, a crusade, if you will, not to use a negative term in relation to this subject matter, but they feel like that they have a mission from God to do this, not realizing, you know, the red pill generation, it's good to be red pilled and just and let to take the cover off and let there be transparency and see what's happening behind the scenes. And in recent years, we've seen the deep state in the United States. And the United States is not the only one with a deep state and with a horrific, demonic atrocities in their past. Wow. The United States government has done terrible things. That is true. Yeah. The Israeli government has done terrible things. That also is true. But the problem is when you begin to discover that and that's all you focus on, then you lose, for example, here in the United States, the mission of this nation, what it has accomplished in a positive light. And the same is true for the nation of Israel. So we've overdosed on red pills, if you will.
Wow.
And that's side effects may include anti-Semitism when you overdose on red pills. And we just got to shake ourselves from that and recognize, no, when we say we stand with Israel, we're not saying we agree with everything Israel does. That's not what we're saying, nor should we. We're not saying that we agree with the Knesset. It is a godless government. There is curtailing of freedom of speech and persecution of Christians in Israel. That is true. But that does not negate the fact that Israel is the apple of God's eye and that God's people have a claim to the land and they have a right to exist there. Those are two separate issues that we ought to be able to take with some kind of nuance. But as we discover these nefarious things that many governments have done, find one government that hasn't, we're kind of going off the deep end here, and we got to keep our cool and stay grounded in the Word.
I have to agree. Amen. It's important to stay grounded and be led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you think that Israel, if it were the biblical Israel, wouldn't make any mistakes, you've read the Bible.
Yeah.
You haven't read the Old Testament. So it's like, that's par for the course. That's why God sent the Messiah, and he wants his people to believe in the Messiah just as much now as he did back when Paul was crying out to the Jewish people. So yeah.
If there's one thing we've learned from Scripture is that God's promises to Israel are not dependent upon their faithfulness.
Amen.
It's dependent upon his faithfulness, and he will do what he said he was going to do.
Amen. I'm going to head towards closing on the note here. This is something I'm going to throw out just to see what your thoughts are, because I've heard many teachers, and this is a phenomenal parallel, but they've noticed the parallels between the figure of the Antichrist in the Old Testament with the Mahdi in Islam, that there are many prophetic parallels. And I know that quietly behind the scenes, Saudi Arabian leadership has advanced technology that they implement. They don't share it with other nations. No, not a lot of people know about it, but if you talk to expats from Saudi Arabia, they will tell you that they have a lot going on in the world. They have riches untold that they have not talked the world about. So I kind of have a question here. You know, I'm sure that Satan has a handful of different cards he can play when it comes to the end times that will align with what God said, because God's the one that sets, God is sovereign. He sets the parameters within which Satan can act. But do you believe that, first of all, that it could be an Islamic government that the beast, the Antichrist, operates out of? And second of all, do you believe that both of these entities of AI and an Islamic government could be one thing? What are your thoughts about that?
Can you imagine the combination between some of these purely evil, radical Islamic governments with artificial intelligence? All we think of is Osama bin Laden hiding in a cave. We don't realize that, for example, Iran is one of the most technologically advanced armies in the world. And they're very sophisticated. Of course, China as well, very sophisticated. But we often think of kind of these raiders in the desert, and we don't equate them with highly sophisticated warfare tactics, which, of course, these nations, they have the wealth, they have the resources, they have the technologies. What will they be able to accomplish? I talk about that possibility in the book, and I think it is fascinating. A lot of the parallels between Islam and the Antichrist. And ultimately, I think one of the best messages for the Christian is you're never going to see who this is. Now, it's important that we learn everything. And one of the big lies I've heard about the rapture, I talk about this and they lied to you about the rapture, is that, well, I don't need to know what's going to happen during the tribulation. I don't need to know about the Antichrist because I'm not going to be here. Mm. Well, were you there for the Gospels? Well, no, you weren't. Do you need to know what happened there? Well, yes, you do. Well, why do I need to learn about the Antichrist? I'm not going to see him. It's true. You're not going to see him if you're blood-bought. If you're a born-again believer, you're coming out of here. But his spirit is in the earth today. And so when you learn about the Antichrist, it makes it so that you're not ignorant concerning his devices, because long before he marks our head, he will attempt to mark our minds. And that's what's happening in the world today. That spirit is attempting to mark the minds of a generation. And the only way we can battle against it is revelation from Scripture, information from the Word of God. So we don't need to bury our head in the sand and say, well, I'm out of here, so I don't need to know that. No, it's in the Bible because you need to know it. And if it's in the Bible, you need to make sure you know as much about it as humanly possible. So information is always better than ignorance.
Well, Bishop DiDio, that was an excellent, I think that you just gave our listeners a really big call to discernment and to be sober-minded right now. Is there anything else you'd like to say to them about the coming days and what we need to be praying towards as a church?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a massive attack against our blessed hope. You're going to see a massive propaganda campaign to rob you of the reality of Jesus' imminent return. And what I need every believer to know is that hope is worth defending. So get all the tools that you need, all the resources you need to study it, to engage in it. In fact, in the future, we can talk about this. That blessed hope, I truly believe it is the helmet of salvation. It is what will protect you from the end time deception. So keep your eyes looking up. Know that Jesus is coming.
Wow. Thank you. I want to remind you guys again to go look at They Lied to You About the Rapture. I'll put the link here and also below in the description. I want you to be able to have that hope about Jesus's imminent return and to trust in him. Jesus talked about the faithful steward and the faithless steward when the master's gone from the house. We want you to be faithful stewards and have the fear of God and a sober mind. Bishop Alan DiDio, thank you so much for coming on again today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Listen, guys, if you want to talk about the end times, we also want to give you a little look into the future. You know, after the tribulation and the Antichrist will come the millennial reign of Christ. So we want you to look at ISO's owned website, millennialreign.org, to look in what a glimpse of the coming future kingdom will be like based off of Ezekiel's temple in Ezekiel 40 through 48. So guys, go over there, be blessed, and we'll see you next time on ISO Insights.